This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes. Cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In today's hour, we're going to talk about one of the greatest mysteries in the universe, and these are black holes. In fact, today we're going to be talking about an exciting new book that's just coming out. It's called Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes by Professor Chris Impey. He's a professor of astronomy at the University of Arizona in Tucson. And he's the author of many great books, including Beyond, How It Began, and How It Ends. So in this hour, we're going to talk about black holes, given the fact that scientists, for the first time in history, have been able to photograph at least the event horizon which surrounds the black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. But before we begin, let me make it just a quick short announcement. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I'm on a book tour. I travel around the country. My book, The Future of Humanity, is now in paperback form, talking about our potential destiny in outer space. So find out about my tour schedule, and you can find out about the other books I've written. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers, and the latest one is now in paperback form. So go to mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or Facebook. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, or Twitter. We have 1 million fans on Twitter. Well, once again, in this hour, we're going to talk about one of the most bizarre, strangest objects in the universe, objects which actually exist. And as I mentioned, a photograph of the event horizon surrounding a black hole is now available, compliments of radio telescope technology. The book is called Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes by astronomer Chris Impey. So, Chris, glad that you could once again be on Science Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, well, once again, when you were a youth, what steered you in the direction of astronomy and science, and how did you get interested in black holes?
Well, I've been in the States for a long time, but I grew up in the UK. As you know, we don't have very good starry skies there. So I got in, you know, physics is a gateway drug for astronomy, so I was a physics student, and I was actually looking at high-energy physics. The world was very small. But there were some new telescopes the Brits were building in Hawaii and Australia, and so I started getting interested in that. And astronomy was kind of in a buccaneering phase where there were a lot of new discoveries and not huge research teams, so it seemed like a nimble kind of science. And so that was my pathway in. And as far as black holes go, I started getting interested in the huge black holes that sit at the center of galaxies, which when they're active can be the brightest objects in the universe. So my thesis and then beyond was on active galaxies.
Okay, well, let's just get right into the beginning of your book, which talks about the history of black holes. And there was something called dark stars, even before the idea of black holes were introduced, going all the way back to the time right after Isaac Newton proposed his theory of gravity. So tell us a little bit about John Michell and how he was able to predict this bizarre object called a dark star, which we now call black holes. How did he do that?
Yeah, it was pretty audacious because this is over 200 years ago and well before general relativity. So it's not a formally correct way of talking about black holes. He was extrapolating from Newton's theory. But he was a clergyman. He was an amateur scientist because there really weren't professional scientists back then. And he was, just had these great ideas and thought, well, if you extrapolate the situation of more massive objects and the escape velocity rises with the mass, you can imagine an object that's either massive or dense enough that the escape velocity is the speed of light, and then nothing should get out, and so it should be a dark star. He didn't imagine the star being super dense. He imagined it just being super large and massive, so he was not correct in that aspect, but just the idea of a dark star goes back all those 200 years.
Okay, but back then, of course, they didn't know what the speed of light was. How could they measure the speed of light using technology that's 200 years old? So back then, I guess, the first estimates of the parameters of a dark star were off, right?
Yeah, it was crude. It was pretty rough. I think the most accurate measurement of the speed of light was done by Fizeau, there were these very clever timing measurements using Jupiter's moons on the far and near side, of seeing what the extra path or time it took for light to travel between Jupiter's moons. So there was a rough estimate, you know, accurate to maybe 10%. And that's good enough to talk about how massive a star would actually have to be for its escape velocity to be that large.
Okay, now in 1915, Einstein proposes his masterpiece, the General Theory of Relativity, where gravity is a byproduct of the curvature of space and time. And a year later, in 1916, Karl Schwarzschild finds a solution, an exact solution of Einstein's equations. But Einstein, even though he liked the idea of a solution of his equations, he didn't like the idea of what was at the center of the Schwarzschild solution. So could you elaborate for us, what was Einstein's reaction when it was pointed out to him that at the center of his theory there could be something like a black hole?
Yeah, he was kind of perplexed, and he really found it abhorrent. He thought it was the problem of the theory, and in fact it is. The singularity, the infinite cusp of density at the center of a black hole is a problem for the theory. Much later, Stephen Hawking called it. Said that black holes contain the seeds of their own demise because they have a singularity. So he just thought it was an artifact of his theory. He didn't really think these would be physical objects that would exist or we could find. And he also didn't really explore the implications of black holes, like gravitational lensing and so on. It was left to others to do that back in the 1920s and 1930s.
Now, as I understand, Einstein even wrote a paper showing that if matter swirls around in a star and slowly begins to coalesce into a black hole, it never reaches that point. It never gets small enough. And so he thought that on physics grounds, black holes were an impossibility. But I guess there was a loophole, right? A loophole in the idea that swirling gas alone can create a black hole.
Yeah, there was a loophole, and I think that the real progress, you know, took a while. It wasn't until the 30s and 40s that the people like Oppenheimer and Bethe, who were really working on super dense forms of matter out of applications to the atomic bomb, were actually able to do calculations of what, you know, the formation of a black hole would entail. Yeah, Einstein couldn't do those calculations. And you talked about Schwarzschild solution, and you know, people outside the field forget just how brutally difficult general relativity is. There have only ever been a handful of exact solutions to general relativity in these kind of situations, and that's in a century of work.
Okay, and speaking about the atomic bomb, Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb, comes up with the idea of implosion, an idea that Einstein missed. So could you explain to us what this idea of implosion is that gets around the no-go theorem that Einstein had?
Right. So by the 1930s and 40s, with Eddington and others, there's a pretty robust theory of how stars work and how they evolve. And so Oppenheimer was just following the logic of what happens when all the pressure support is lost from a star, when the fusion ends and it goes through all of its various fusion chains.
Okay, Chris, we have to take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of, well, the relationship between the atomic bomb and black holes. And once again, our special guest today is astronomer Chris Emphy. The book is called Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes. So stay tuned as we continue a discussion of the most mysterious object in the universe, Einstein's Monsters. Stay tuned.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Professor of Astronomy, Chris Emphy, of the University of Arizona at Tucson. And his latest book is called Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes. And we should also point out that he's written a number of great books, including Beyond, How It Began, and How It Ends. Well, when we last left off, we were talking about the fact that Einstein himself couldn't get himself to believe that these black holes could exist. They were so fantastic. And then here comes J. Robert Oppenheimer, father of the atomic bomb, who invents a new mechanism by which a star could actually degenerate into a black hole via an implosion. So explain to us this new idea of an implosion.
So what's happening in a massive star, this can only happen to a star that's several times more massive than the sun, is that at the end of a star's life, the star is only kept at its size by the pressure from fusion reactions in the core. But when that energy source is lost and there's no more nuclear fuel, then gravity wins, and gravity will force a sort of essentially a free fall collapse, a very dramatic implosion. And then the calculations really were only possible in the 1930s and 40s, and Oppenheimer did them, and showed that, you know, that logically you would end up with a state that formally met the definition of a black hole. And so at that point, the onus was on people to go out and try and find them.
Okay, so the idea of an implosion was a novel concept, and that was in the 1930s. And I understand in the 1940s, of course, we had World War II and we were fighting the Nazis. And he came up with the idea of an imploding sphere of plutonium. And that, of course, is the driving mechanism behind the Nagasaki bomb. So, in some sense, the idea of implosion that he originated in the 30s became the seed of the implosion mechanism for the Nagasaki bomb, right?
Absolutely. And it just goes to show how, you know, physics, novel physics or excellent physics, you know, often has multiple applications. You can't always tell how these ideas are going to play out.
Okay, now let's talk about the dynamics of a black hole. Of course, many people want to know the answer to a simple question. What happens when you fall in? So slowly walk through the process by which what happens if your rocket ship slowly begins to orbit around the black hole. What do you see? What happens as you get closer? Many people have seen the movie Interstellar, and Kip Thorne, Nobel Prize winner, was one of the advisors to that movie Interstellar. So tell us what happens as you, heaven forbid, get closer to a black hole.
The best way to sort of think about it is if you and a companion go to a black hole in identical spaceships, and your companion stays outside, or maybe you stay outside and watch your companion fall in. Say you stay safely outside, you watching your companion fall in, you'll see his clock move slower and slower, and actually will asymptotically slow down as it reaches the event horizon. The bizarre calculation in the relativity theory that says the time slows down in stronger gravity fields, and at the event horizon, time slows down infinitely. So to your perspective, that your companion would never actually reach the event horizon. Also, their light would be redshifted by the gravitational redshift, and so they would, you know, gradually change color, and their waves would be stretched out eventually to radio waves. However, from their perspective, they just fall right in on a ballistic trajectory through the event horizon. So there's an interesting difference in perspective from the two points of view. And then as to what happens to you, it's the well-known implication that you're spaghettified, which is probably a very unpleasant way to go, because it's not like Stretch Armstrong, just a sort of toy doll being pulled at the feet and the head. This is, you're being stretched out at the level of muscle fibers, bones, and individual molecules, probably very excruciating, and for sure you will not survive that.
Okay, well, the moon, of course, exerts gravitational force on the Earth, causing the Earth to be stretched a bit, and that gives us the tides. So are you saying, therefore, that as you get closer and closer to the black hole, the very same thing that causes the tides on the Earth basically rips your body apart and you look like a noodle?
That's right. So the difference in the gravity between your head and your feet, or even if you're on your side, between one side of your body and the other, is going to be enough to disrupt the matter, the material of your body. However, there's when you do the calculation and scale it up, because we know now there are big black holes in the universe as well as dead star-sized black holes, there's some level of around 1,000, maybe a few thousand times the mass of the sun, where although the gravity of that black hole, the total gravity, is, of course, much more because it's a bigger black hole, the stretching force is actually less. And so that's the boundary at which you might be able to survive falling in. So if you want to do the experiment, if anyone ever gets to do it, then you got to find a big black hole, and you could survive falling in.
Now, as you get closer to the event horizon, the point of no return, ancient light that's been orbiting around the black hole for millions of years, you start to encounter that. So what happens? Is it possible that you could see the past, see the origin of where the black hole came from, because you're now looking at light that's been trapped by the black hole for eons? What are your thoughts?
That's right. There's a place that's formally twice the distance of the event horizon from the singularity at which light will just orbit around in circles. And so, yes, light that ends up in that situation could be very old light. And so, yes, you could be witnessing that light. There's another piece of this story, which is that the light the information that essentially falls into the black hole and is lost forever, including the radiation, there's arguments as to whether there's somehow that is preserved on the event horizon. This is the holographic theory of black holes, which doesn't have any direct experimental support, but it's an intriguing idea. And that sort of argues that the information that seems to be lost in a black hole may not be totally lost, because it may essentially be coded on the event horizon somehow. So as you fell into the event horizon, you might see the history of that radiation falling in too.
Now, we'll talk about that, but when you fall into a black hole, you don't come back out again. So it's like the ultimate Roach Motel. Everything checks in, nothing checks out. However, that seems to violate the quantum theory, because in the quantum theory, well, things are reversible. Information is never lost. So here's the question. If you take the Encyclopedia Britannica and you throw it through the event horizon, the point of no return, is the information of the Encyclopedia Britannica lost forever? Or does it come back somehow? And I understand that Stephen Hawking himself made a mistake, and he admitted it. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, the implication, the simple implication of the black hole theory is that the information is lost. And so formally, one way of expressing that is to say that black holes have large entropy or disorder. So a black hole, the mass of the sun, has 100 million times more entropy or disorder than the sun itself, which is a reflection sort of all the myriad ways that matter could end up in a black hole, and you can't distinguish between them. The black hole is mute to all the histories of matter that went into it. So the question of whether that is ever retrievable or could be retrievable is an active research question. I think it's still an active research question, because the issue you allude to, the inconsistency between information lost in the black hole and the theories of quantum physics, is not really fully resolved. There are some very interesting ideas out there, but it's an active field. I think several hundred research papers a year are still being written on that topic.
Okay, well, Stephen Hawking was famous for saying that black holes are not really black. Blackness means you absorb everything, including light, and nothing ever escapes. But then Hawking came up with something called Hawking radiation, which really was quite a new discovery, the interaction of the quantum theory with general relativity. So tell us a little bit about what is Hawking radiation?
It's maybe his most famous concept in black holes from the 1970s, because black holes before that had been extremely simple objects. They would have mass, they would have rotation or angular momentum.
Okay, Chris, we have to take yet another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue with discussion of Einstein's monsters, the life and times of black holes. Our special guest today is astronomer Chris Empey, professor of astronomy at the University of Arizona in Tucson. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you'll be heard on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The State Department has completed its internal investigation into former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's use of private email and found violations by 38 people, many of which will face disciplinary action. The investigation, launched more than 3 years ago, determined that 38 people were culpable in 91 cases of sending classified information that ended up in Clinton's personal email, according to the letter sent by Senator Chuck Grassley. The 38 are current and former State Department officials, but were not identified. The investigation covered over 33,000 emails that Clinton turned over for review after her use of the private email account became public. The department said it found a total of 588 violations involving information that was deemed to be classified. The report concluded that the use of a private email system to conduct official business adds an increased degree of risk of compromise to State Department networks. This is USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude. Put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley's giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Chris Empey, author of a new book, Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes. He's a professor of astronomy at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and he's the author of a number of great books, including Beyond, How It Began, and How It Ends. Well, of course, many people know the name of the late physicist Stephen Hawking, but what was his main contribution? The fact that, well, black holes are not really black. Things are black because they absorb light, so a black hole should be the ultimate Roach Motel. Everything checks in, nothing checks out. But here comes Hawking, who says that, well, that violates quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics says that, well, you can never have perfect blackness. Perfect blackness violates the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Therefore, he said, there should be grayness coming out or radiation. So tell us a little bit about what is Hawking radiation. Have we seen it, or is it much too faint to pick up with our instruments?
Yeah, it's extremely challenging. I mean, Hawking was himself hoping that it might be detectable because he thought there was a Nobel Prize sitting there, which really only happens for a discovery rather than a theory. So Hawking radiation being seen would almost certainly netted him a Nobel Prize. He knew that in physics, in the vacuum of nature, particles and antiparticles come in and out of existence all the time. That's well-established physics, microscopic physics we've seen happening in the lab. And in his view, his insight was that if this process happens near the event horizon of a black hole, there's a finite probability that one member of the virtual pair will go inside the event horizon and the other will come out. If it's an antiparticle, then it'll annihilate immediately with the particle and lead to a photon. So the net effect of this phenomenon occurring near the event horizon is a very small wasp of mass or equivalently energy. And he put a calculation on the temperature, and it's an amazingly small number. It's like a billionth of a Kelvin. So there's no conceivable way astronomers can measure the temperature of a black hole at that level, especially since they're usually surrounded by gas and it's very hot and messy. So unfortunately, that very low temperature of Hawking radiation is unobservable. But the implication that black holes have a temperature and they radiate energy and equivalently they evaporate, slowly lose mass, is very profound because it changes our view of black holes completely.
Okay, now let's go to the experimental side of things a bit. And as I mentioned, we have radio astronomers who have lashed together the radiation they pick up from outer space, and they've been able to get a picture of, well, not the black hole itself, but the event horizon surrounding the black hole. So tell us, how do you do it? How do you get all these radio telescopes, lash them together to get an effective radio telescope the size of the Earth? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's a great experiment, and I'm pleased that one of the collaborators in this research group is in my university, my department, and we have one of the telescopes is in Arizona, so I'm pretty familiar with the project. So the key to seeing, to imaging or resolving the event horizon is you need incredible angular resolution. You need to make a much sharper image than is possible with most optical telescopes. Also, the center of our galaxy is completely opaque to visible light. I think one in a trillion photons reaches us from the center of our galaxy. So you can't possibly do this experiment with optical light or even infrared. So you move out in wavelength to radio waves or millimeter waves, much longer waves, to make the galaxy as transparent to them so the radiation can get out 26,000 light years. And then to get that sharp resolution, a single radio telescope just won't do it. It'll make a very fuzzy radio image. So you essentially mimic a super large telescope.
Okay, Chris, we have to take another short commercial break, but afterwards we're going to continue a discussion of your book, Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes. Stay tuned. Continue a discussion of the greatest mysteries in the universe.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, we're talking about one of the strangest objects in the universe. It's a subject of science fiction, but they exist, and we now have a photograph of such a monster. Well, once again, the book is called Einstein's Monsters. The author is astronomer Chris Empey, and the subtitle is The Life and Times of Black Holes. He's a professor of astronomy at the University of Arizona in Tucson, author of a number of great books, including Beyond, How It Began, and How It Ends. So when we last left off, we were talking about the experimental domain now, of how you actually see these things in outer space. Some people wonder, well, if it's black, how can you possibly see something that's invisible? So tell us a bit about that. I mean, given the fact that black holes are black for the most part, they absorb radiation, how can you possibly detect them from the Earth?
So what you're seeing and what they've seen with this radio telescope array is the event horizon silhouetted against hot glowing gas behind it. So it's sort of backlit, if you like, because black holes in dense regions of space are usually surrounded by swirling gas, accretion disks, and that gas glows. This radio telescope array has the sharpness, the resolution to make an image of the event horizon, and it will be backlit by this hot gas. And they need a radio telescope basically the size of the Earth. Now, we can't cover the Earth with with radio antennae, but you can take different radio antennas across different continents and coherently combine their radio waves to synthesize, it's called aperture synthesis, a telescope that acts like it's the size of the Earth in terms of the sharpness of its radio images. That's a very challenging thing to do, but this team has done it.
And given the fact that we've been able to do this now, what are the next steps? Are we going to be able to peer into the center of other galaxies and have maybe an encyclopedia of different kinds of black holes? Or is this just one of a kind? And what about black holes that are stellar inside our own Milky Way galaxy? Well, one day we'll be able to see them as well.
You know, the ironic thing is that this big black hole, 4 million times the mass of the Sun and 26,000 light years away, is easier to do this experiment on than the smaller stellar black holes much nearer to the Earth. And the reason is that the size of the event horizon goes up with the mass of the black hole. And so this big black hole in the center of our galaxy is tens of thousands of times more massive than a stellar black hole. So its event horizon is tens of thousands of times bigger. But it's only a few hundred times further away than the nearest black holes, which are a few hundred light years. So ironically, it's easier to make an image of this event horizon than of any of the stellar mass black holes that are much closer than a few hundred light years of the Earth. And actually, it's not going to be possible to do this with those black holes. So it's a bit of a one-off. And so very exciting to see what happens, because we're not going to get other chances to do this experiment. And then if you go to other galaxies where the black holes are bigger still, they're again much further away. They're millions of light years away rather than a few tens of thousands. So they're hundreds of times further away, and they're also impossible to image. So this really is almost a unique experiment at the moment.
And there's another instrument called LIGO, a gigantic instrument, two of them, in fact, and they've been able to pick up gravity waves from colliding black holes. So tell us a little bit about LIGO, which eventually won the Nobel Prize for the people that perfected the experiment.
Yeah, this is very exciting science of the last few years. Their first detection was in late 2015, published the following year, and now they've had six or seven, I think, other black hole mergers. So it's an exquisitely precise physics experiment, the most precise physics experiment ever done. And what they're looking for, again, a prediction from general relativity, is that when you have a binary star system where both of the members are massive enough to die as black holes, and those black holes eventually spiral together and merge, they will release a torrent of space-time ripples or gravitational waves that travel out at the speed of light and eventually reach the Earth. They're extremely tiny perturbations or ripples in space-time, so very, very difficult to detect. Many people thought this experiment was impossible and very deserving of a Nobel Prize in the fact that they succeeded a few years ago.
And with LIGO, one day people will put them in outer space, perhaps, right? And even get baby pictures of the infant universe. So we're talking about a whole new era of astronomy opening up, right?
Yeah, and also it's worth pointing out that, you know, we're pretty confident that stellar mass black holes exist, but there's still only been 50 or 60 binary star systems where black hole mass has been measured. So LIGO's detection essentially nails beyond any doubt that black holes exist, because the signature of gravity.
Okay, Chris, we have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of Einstein's monsters.
Dan Perkins here for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA recently reported that 70% of all veteran suicides are by vets who have never been to the VA. There's a saying, when a person's name is written down where people can see it, that person will never be forgotten. Many of our veterans, past and present, feel that nobody cares about them. We will be holding the first Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Memorial Tournament. All of the proceeds will go to purchase MP3 players for veterans. I know that veterans and their families all over the country will hear this announcement and not be able to play at the golf outing, but want to help. So here's your veterans tip of the day. If you have a family member or a friend that is a veteran, for $100 you can honor them and make sure they will never be forgotten. Go to songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us and sponsor a tea or a green in their name. Keep their
memory alive. This has been your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-613-2646. That's 1-800-613-2646. 1-800-613-2646.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Chris Empey, author of the book Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes. And this is a great time to be an astronomer because we have instruments like LIGO, which gave us indications that gravity waves are not science fiction, but we've actually been able to measure gravity waves from colliding black holes. And then we have the Event Horizon Telescope, capable of actually photographing the event horizon surrounding a black hole. So it's a great time to be an astronomer. By the way, let me ask you a question. Have you seen the movie Interstellar? Do you think it was accurate? And, of course, they go through the event horizon. That's something that maybe you shouldn't do. But tell us a little bit about that, too. What happens when you go through the event horizon? So what do you think of the movie Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey?
I thought it was great. I mean, you know, with science-inspired movies, they're still creative work, so you always, I always cut the movie maker some slack of mostly getting it right. A little artistic license is fine, but that movie, as you know, had Kip Thorne as a scientific advisor, and, you know, that's a pretty good place to start because he's going to make sure it's pretty accurate. In fact, Kip Thorne said that the simulations they did to create the images, the animations, the graphics for the movie actually led him to publish 3 or 4 research papers. So this was an amazing confluence of creativity and movie making with actual research and relativity.
And also, he published a textbook, well, not a textbook, but a picture book about the making of the movie. And the movie ends with Matthew McConaughey hovering in some kind of gigantic, strange cube, which I identified as a hypercube, because the movie ends on string theory. Now, tell us a little bit about what happens if you go through the black hole and enter the world of, well, science fiction. Nobody knows what happens, but there are theories. There are theories as to what might happen, including maybe there's a gateway to another universe, or maybe it just ends right there. So what are your thoughts about speculation, because that's what it is, speculation, about what happens if you fall through the event horizon, like in the movie, and like Matthew McConaughey, wind up in the fifth dimension?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to speculate, and the theory is incomplete. We have to admit that our theories of gravity are incomplete when it comes to understanding black holes. So it's a fun way to speculate. The business of a black hole being a portal to another region of space-time and coming out as a white hole, it's formally possible, but there's no evidence for that. Our universe is actually rather dull in terms of its space-time. Space-time is essentially flat on all the large scales, and black holes are little pinched-off pieces. So I don't think that happens. However, a spinning black hole formally inside a spinning black hole, there will be something called a time-like curve, where if you were there, and this is a big enough black hole that you survived falling in and didn't get stretched apart, you could travel along that timeline curve backwards and forwards in time and sort of meet past and future versions of yourself, I assume. So that would be kind of interesting.
And wasn't it mathematician Roy Curry back around 1963 who took a spinning black hole, found an exact solution of Einstein's equation, and if you fall through the ring of the spinning black hole, it's like going up an elevator. You wind up on a parallel floor of another universe. And if you go through the elevator one more time, you wind up on a second parallel universe. And basically, you hit the up button, you go through the event, you go through the wormhole, and you wind up on many different parallel universes. So what are your thoughts? Of course, this is pure mathematics. It has nothing to do with reality as we know it. But what are your thoughts about whether or not we have to take some of these solutions seriously?
Well, I think we have to take them seriously. That was the monumental achievement that Roy Kerr did. And as we were talking about earlier, solving the equations of general relativity in these situations is incredibly difficult. So there's Schwarzschild, and then there was Kerr in the 60s, and that's almost it. I mean, two exact solutions in the 20th century. And if we take the math seriously, I think it was a famous physicist, maybe Murray Gell-Mann, I don't want to misquote, who said, "We trust the mathematics, it's caught us every time." He's talking about physics, manifesting in the real universe, things that we describe mathematically. So if we trust it, then maybe these speculations about other dimensions and other space-times are legitimate. I think we should take them at least semi-seriously.
Now, Stephen Hawking took these solutions, these bizarre solutions, seriously enough that he had a theorem. A theorem that said that if you have something called negative energy or negative matter, you can stabilize some of these bizarre solutions of Einstein's equations and perhaps even get a wormhole machine or a time machine. And he was able to actually show, mathematically speaking, the limits of how far you can push Einstein's equations so that they would allow time travel or wormhole travel. And, make some statements that can then at some point in the future be testable. But of course, this is not going to happen in our lifetime. We're not going to be able to test any of these solutions. But, well, what are your thoughts? Negative energy, negative matter, we've never seen them. They may not even exist. But if they do exist, wouldn't that force us to rewrite the history of black holes?
Yes, I think so. And that history does need to be rewritten because, we're still faced with the problem you mentioned early on that, the gravity theory that leads us towards the idea of black holes is inconsistent in black holes with quantum theory and the reversibility of microscopic reactions that we see in the lab. And nobody's figured that out yet. It's led to ideas like a firewall that somehow destroys the entanglement that particles might have across the event horizon. There are all sorts of esoteric ideas, but it's an unsolved problem in physics.
Chris, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
I've enjoyed it a lot, Michio. Thank you very much.
Great. And once again, our special guest today was astronomer Chris Empey of the University of Arizona in Tucson. The book is called Einstein's Monsters, The Life and Times of Black Holes. And he's the author of a number of great books, including Beyond, How It Began, and How It Ends. And you are listening to Science Fantastic. And again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.